I want you to imagine for a moment that my dogs just came into the room. Leroy and Fluff. How many of you know who they are? Okay. And Leroy and Fluff, the first thing that Leroy is going to do, he's going to go and greet every one of you. And Fluff's going to stand here and shake. Right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be calling out to them, okay, come, come. And they're going to be too scared on one hand to listen, and Leroy is going to be too busy on the other hand to listen. And if I keep saying, come, come, Leroy, come, Leroy, Leroy, come, right? And if I give up, they're just going to do what they're going to do, right? But if I'm persistent, if I stay after it, I will get them to eventually pay attention to me and come. And while they're here and they finally come, maybe it took me 10 or 20 times of saying it because they were so distracted, they finally came, right? And they're wagging their tails and they're, you know, happy to see me and that sort of thing. And I say to them, sit. And they're still not in their element. They're still not at home, you know, still distracted, and they're still, and I go, sit. You know, I could quit. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work here in the world. It might work in my home when there's no distraction, but here, out in the world, there's too much distraction. Or I could sit there and say, sit, sit, sit. Look at me, right? And why would I be so persistent? Because I'm established. I know who the boss is. And I know that they can do it because I've seen them do it. And I finally get them to sit. And then some of you might say, wow, that's great. Isn't that cute? I say, Paul, Paul, Paul. And then they give me paw, and some of you go, oh, isn't that cute? Right? And they give me the paw, and they give me the other paw, and I say, lay down. Lay down. Come on. Lay down. Lay down. And eventually they would. And you'd be like, oh, that's cool. And then maybe I'd go, crawl, crawl. And you'd be like, whoa, they're crawling. Oh, right? You'd be impressed. What does this have to do with faith? Everything. You are the master because you have the master's name. And just because something doesn't respond the first time, don't sit there and think it's not for you. Don't sit there and give up on your dog. Do you hear me? You need to call out and call again. The scriptures in Mark 11, 23 and 24, say unto the mountain, say. That's a present continuous. Keep saying, come, 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 come. All right, now come, come. All right, come. All right, you got it under control. Got it? Your faith works the same way. When you speak to it, if you're convinced, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, you can keep speaking to it until it does obey you. Maybe whatever it is you're speaking to is distracted. Maybe whatever it is that you're speaking to doesn't know that you mean it. How many times have you been in a parental situation where, well, let me just say, I've been in this situation. And it's bedtime, right? I've said this before. And I'm sorry, I got to say Valerie. I got to say Mommy. Mommy says, okay, time for bed. And the kids are not moving. It's time for bed. And they're not moving. You know why they're not moving? Because they know she's not convinced. After a while, it's like, man, it's bedtime. I know it's bedtime. What are you doing here? Go to bed. OK? Guess what?
They go.
If you believe it, the mountain will move. It might sit there and shake at you. It might act like it's distracted, wondering if you really mean it. Do you understand? Some of you might think, well, Jesus just spoke once and it was done. Come on. Jesus was full of faith and full of grace. He didn't have unbelief and doubt working in his heart like you do and I do. But we have a great intercessor who's interceding for us. And if we will make a decision and speak to it and not stop speaking until it does what we command it to do, it will obey you. That is what the scripture says. But what do we do? Come, come. And the dog goes the other way. It doesn't work. Right? We give up on it. But if I get his attention, oh no, come, come, come. I will win the battle. Are you listening? Don't give up. You don't quit. You keep speaking until you get the results you are authorized to get because you're established in His Word. We sing the song, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we start speaking and we give up on it. How many of you have given up on it? Really? How many of you? Yeah. We give up on it. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't let the enemy have his authority. You don't let the curse win. You don't let the world continue as it's been. You don't stop speaking until you have it. Say continuously. Amen? Just think of your dog. What is it about the dog? Yeah, I'm at home and we're working on it. And we're working on it. But you know, you got to keep working on it. So, is our faith. We must be established in grace. Just because God's grace has done something doesn't mean it's automatic in our lives. We have a part to play. The word established means to be certain, confirm. It means to be established. It means to know, to make sure. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried away about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. It's good that the heart be certain of grace. Until we are established, certain, convinced, by God's grace in our heart, we remain in doubt. We remain tossed. Kind of like with the dogs. Come. He's not really going to do it. Is it really up to the dog to decide? It is God's will that we be established and certain. Romans 11:1. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. Established. You know why we give up? Because we're not established. We're not sure. We're not convinced. And it's a problem. The enemy wants us unsure. The enemy wants us double-minded. Even the church teaches this stuff. Faith is not vague, overall hope, but knows God's will, knows His word. Faith knows. Doubt doesn't. I can prove this to you. How many of you know you're saved? You know that you know? You know. See? You're established. You can sense it. You're experiencing it. You're not in doubt about it. And when you are sure of it, what is it that it does for you? It gives you peace and rest and joy. And the Spirit bears witness in your heart that it's so. And you walk around knowing. You're not in doubt. You're established. If someone came up to you and said, no, you can't be saved by the name of Jesus, are you going to fall for that? Of course not. You're established. Right? You're established. Oh, I saw you sin. I've heard you curse. I know what you're like in your basement. Right? You know these things. And you say, well, yeah, the evidence in your life isn't quite consistent. Right? And you could buy into that, well, maybe my sin means I'm not really saved. People, we have bought into that, some of us, right? Be established. Faith knows. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Not wavering, not wandering, not doubting, not sure, but established in the faith, knowing, confident, practicing. I know my dogs will come to me. I may have to get the distractions out of their business. I may have to get him from stop shaking a little bit. But if I keep after it, I know they'll come to me. I know it. I'm not wandering, even if I brought him in here. And I'm saying to you, when you go out in the workforce and it's not your home, it's a little bit different environment, isn't it? But if you know, it may take a little longer, but you can get it to come to you and you can get it to move. If you believe it, if you're established. Understanding the definitions of grace. You know, if you hear something once, is that enough? Not likely. Many of us need to hear it again and again because we've been hearing the contrary or even believing the contrary for so long. But grace is what God has done. And our faith is just appropriating what he's already done. We're not getting him to do something that he hasn't done. What we're doing is getting in line with him for what he's already done. Grace. It's awesome. If we're thinking right. If we're believing right. Our heart. That's the area between the natural man and the spirit man. You might call it the battleground. And then your heart is established when you decide what you're going to think about, what you're going to believe. That's the battleground. Faith. I'm telling you, faith is nothing more than responding to what you know God's will is and acting on it. On our part, man, we've got such an awesome part. God in his predetermined will decided that you would have life like he has it. He decided that we would be able to use his stuff to get it done. That's awesome. That's our part. Uncertainty is a major problem. When we're not sure or firm or convinced, we are not established in grace. As long as we are between opinions, the word of God is not is as the word of God as a seed is not planted in our heart. I think this is important for you to get. As long as you know of a promise of God, but you're not established in it, you're not certain that it's for you, it's like on the top, it's like on the surface of your heart, right there, just waiting to be planted. But the doubts and the uncertainties and the contrary teachings will blow it away. You can lose that promise. But if you will be certain of it, it will be planted. As long as we're uncertain, we do not have biblical faith to respond to God's grace. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. It comes by saying, by saying, by saying the word of God. As long as we're uncertain, we don't have biblical faith. Can you imagine Jesus ministering as he did? Well, that demon might come out. I'm not sure about that leprosy is looking pretty bad. You know, can you imagine Jesus ministering that way? How many of you have a different image than that? Right? One of certainty. He knew what the curse was, and he knew the authority he had. And he spoke with a word, just a word. Out. Out. You ever done that to your dog? Oh, yeah. I'm in the bedroom. They're in there. They want to be in there with mommy. Out. One word. You have that authority over the curse. You have that authority over demons. If you know it, faith knows. Doubts don't. sower and the seed. If our understanding of hearing God's word is confused and uncertain, it has not been planted, but remains on the surface of the heart like seed on hard ground. The winds of doubt blow it away. The birds, the demonic, steal it away because we don't defend or protect it. Oh man, this is a big one. Oh, you believe in healing. Well, what about this situation? What about that situation? And you don't have an answer, so you can't defend it. You're not able to defend it. And that puts you in a weak place. You're not sure anymore. You've got to get your homework done. You've got to get yourself established. You know, anything that's established is not going to be shaken. I mean, for me to knock this over, I've got to put some effort on it, right? That's established. That's not going to move. If you don't move, even when someone comes against you with another type of teaching, and you don't move, you're established. What makes us uncertain? Well, we've been brought up in a world that lies and deceives and misleads us. We have our own sin nature that does not receive spiritual things. You know that natural man that's here that only sees things according to what its senses, what it hears, what it feels. That natural man is in you. And when you hear the word of God and it seems so distant, and when it seems so odd or wild, that's your natural man. You don't have to live with that. You can say, that's my natural man. My spirit man knows. My spirit man already has this done. It's a done deal. I can decide by faith that I do receive it. I do have the love of God shed abroad in my heart. I do. I don't feel it. But I'm telling you, I do, because the word says I do. Even though my natural man's over here and say, well, I don't feel it. Did you see the way so-and-so treated me? Any of this making sense, I hope. We've been taught differing things about God. Our experiences have not often lined up with God's promises. I brought the dogs in. The dogs go running around. Leroy's greeting every one of you. And I'm like, come, Leroy. My experience isn't lining up with my words, is it? It's still not lining up with my words. I keep calling to Leroy. He finally gets the message that the master's telling him to come. Because his job is he wants to greet everybody. He wants to do something else. The world wants to do something else than the will of God. You did know that, right? But you have authority. You can tell it to line up. But oftentimes our experiences don't line up, and we'll go by our experiences, and when we do that, we lose the establishment of His grace, because it's by faith. Many sincere, knowledgeable, and God-loving Christians have different opinions or interpretations of the Word of God. This will cause uncertainty, right? I mean, I know of some very well-known ministers who do not believe in divine healing as we've been understanding it here. And if you respect them for the position that they hold, it will cause you to doubt. And you won't defend it. And you'll lose being established in it. God's mysterious will. The subtle but real belief that God is mysterious and works in ways we cannot see or understand, therefore cannot know. In other words, we are not always meant to know God's will. We're not always meant to know God's will. That's a big stumbling block. That's one that's been taught for centuries. But you know, you can't line that up with Scripture. You can line that up with people's experience. But you can't line it up with Scripture. This belief is that God's will is that sometimes we're not to know His will. Let me show you some scriptures that hopefully will nail that one right now so that you can be established in the fact that God wants you knowing His will. Okay? Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, which is not knowing God's will. Right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, test, examine, stand on, be established in, what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Seems pretty clear to me that God wants us knowing His will. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Did you know that Christ is in you means you have the wisdom of God in you? What's that for? Isn't that to know his will? I would say it's wisdom to know his will. I would say it's not wise to not know his will. That seems pretty straightforward to me. But we'll go on. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I don't think you could say it any clearer than that. God wants you knowing. God wants you established. God wants you fighting the battle from a position of strength and wisdom. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's God's will for you to grow in the grace, grow in established, be more established today than you were yesterday. Be more certain today than you were yesterday. That's how we grow in grace, and that's God's will. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation intended here. I just want you to understand what God's will is in this matter. Vague Christianity. This is not where God wants us. This is where Satan wants us. It's like pulling the wool over someone's eyes, keeping them from seeing the things they'd otherwise come to see and understand simply by getting them not to pursue it. I'm going to explain that a little further in a second. The veil overshadows the mind and a glaze forms on the eyes because real inquiry has been short-circuited. I'm telling you what happens to all of us. When the Word of God says one thing, reality says another, and then someone else explains it in a different way than what the Word of God says. We're in confusion. We're not getting the answers to the situation. And we're like, I don't know. And a glaze comes right over our eyes because we don't know. If we don't know, it's not where God wants us. We can ask for wisdom. How many of you know that's in James? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But it's in you. It's in you. Submit to God and resist the devil. If we can't know God's will, how are we supposed to discern enough to resist the devil? Anybody think of that? We're supposed to submit to God and resist the devil, but how are we supposed to know how to resist the devil if we don't know God's will? Anybody see the issue there? I see it. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Adele sat up here and talked about depression coming on us. If you don't know that it's not God's will for you to be depressed, what are you going to do? You're going to accept it. You're going to accept it. You're not going to fight with any real fight. But if you know that it's not God's will for you to have it, you'll say, get back, get off, go away, get out. You see, you will fight the fight because you know. But if you don't know, you'll give up because the evidences around you will overwhelm you. The dogs won't obey you. We can't cast down anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God if we don't have an intimate knowledge of God's will. That's just the way it is. Unplant the weed of vagueness in knowing God's will. If we can successfully unplant this wild weed that God wants us in the darkness about his will, then we can begin the process of establishing our hearts in grace. Everything of grace depends upon our heart, understanding, and growing in the knowledge of his will. Listen to this statement. It's in bold there. Without knowing God's will, there is nothing for our faith to stand on. You can't stand in grace if you don't know it's there. Faith stands on God's word, which is his will and grace. 2 Peter 1:3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus, of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Given. It's already been given. Pertains to life. Pertains to life and godliness. Lately we've been dealing with the godliness part, the intercessory role, the sense of righteousness and holiness that belongs to us. Addressing issues and questions I'm hoping that this is going to make some sense to you. I'm hoping that I can make this clear. This is going to wrap it up here. Once we're convinced, we're supposed to know God's will in any matter, and then we guard this truth. Never go back and consider that the answer is, God must not want me to know. Even if I don't know at the moment, you can know that it's God's will for you to know. Something's blocking it. Something's hindering it. Some misunderstanding. Something. But it's not God's will for you to be in that place. You can press on. You can hold strong. But never go back. Because when you go back and think it's not God's will for you to know, you might as well dig up the foundation and throw it away. What did Jesus say? If you do my words, it's like a man who builds his house on a rock. A rock doesn't move. A rock is established. When we take what we do know and give it up because of the things we don't know yet, we are unplanting the truth. This is a fundamental flaw that I see quite often. Don't give up on what you do know. Even if things don't seem right, even if the dogs aren't quite obeying you yet, don't give up. Don't let it go. Because once you do that, you unplant it. We may not be able to answer every issue or question yet, but don't let go of the things we do know in time, in meditation. Staying on the right track, staying faithful to what we do know, provides the atmosphere, the tension, and the position of righteousness that leads to revelation. That's a big mouthful there. But the point is, if you stay in what you do know, eventually the answer will be revealed to you, and you'll know. But if you let go of that and walk away, what was going to come to you won't come. Establishing grace in our heart in healing. We must understand, like with salvation, healing was atoned for in the cross. It's already done. Then we can move on to the issues and our questions about healing. We have established our hearts in grace that it is God's will in healing. Now we can begin to address, why aren't we seeing it? It isn't because it's not God's will. It's because something is hindering it. And we can begin to address those issues. However, if every time I run into problems, come, Leroy, come. Oh, I guess it's not their will for them to come today. I guess that commanding stuff just doesn't work for dogs on Sundays. You see how we get confused? No. He's not coming because of something. He's supposed to come. He will come if I stay with him. Conclusion. Until the heart is established in grace about healing being for everyone, we simply won't pursue further revelations. We will be stuck. How many of you understand what I'm getting at? Really, I'm serious. How many understand what I'm getting at? If you are not established in that fact, you can't move on. You can't build bricks upon that. Because there's nothing to build bricks on. You keep moving. You understand? That we be established, planted is God's will. That we be certain in any matter, it's God's will concerning his word. We have enough faith. This is vital. I got this from Smith Wigglesworth. And I loved it and I latched on. How many of you ever wanted to know how much is enough faith? Anybody? The answer is right there. We have enough faith when we are convinced. We have enough faith when we are convinced. That is the truth. You can start. I'm convinced my dogs are going to come to me. I have enough faith. Come. You follow? And if he's not coming, I'm not going to let go of that faith. I know you will come. If I have to get the gun out, you know, bam! You will come. We have enough faith, mustard seed, when we are convinced in God's will concerning any promise. When we know, then faith, I like this little phrase. Hang in there, I really am almost done. When we are convinced, when we are certain, then faith has functioned to respond to God's grace in that area. When you know, faith is successful to you. God's sitting up there saying, accomplished, mission accomplished. When you know, when you're certain, His word has accomplished its task in you so that you would know. He doesn't want you not knowing. He wants you knowing. Then your faith has functioned properly. Consider these booklets, which are the product of addressing issues and questions about healing that came once we were established in God's grace that He healed all. Now, this is the only way I can really illustrate it. I'm not really promoting my booklets. But I'm telling you that once I was established there, then all these other things started to get addressed and answers started to come. Healing is a major aspect of the gospel. Looking for immediate results. Jesus' attitude towards sickness and disease just started popping out of the scripture. What did Jesus emphasize? You have the faith of Christ, training to be like our Lord, hardened hearts, works for others, but not for me. Receiving isn't a mystery. We have received. We need to acknowledge it. We ask but don't receive. Setbacks, indicators, and locations. Just listen to yourself. The way you say something, the way you question, indicates where your heart really is. I could go into a lot of specifics on that. And you might want to pick up that booklet. Fiery darts, getting rid of the weeds, casting down arguments. And why signs? All of those booklets, I dare say, would not exist if I wasn't sure that it was God's will for all to be healed, because I believe with all my heart, I'm convinced that the atonement took care of it. You see? We must be established. Sometimes when things aren't working for you, when you're trying to get the dogs to do what you want, when you're trying to get the kids to do what you want, you're not convinced yourself, if you're honest. I used to look at Valerie and say, you're not convinced. You don't really care if they go to bed right now or not. You're not really sure you want them to go to bed right now. And she's thinking about it. All right, you're probably right. You know? I did this, and I am going to close on this. I brought my dogs on a leash, and I had them in a foreign house. Actually, it was Linda McNee's house. Huh? That's foreign. And, of course, they were looking around, and I said, you know, Linda, it really depends on how you say something, doesn't it? That you mean it? If I say to them, please sit, you know, they won't even look at me. They're busy. Oh, would you please sit? I beg you, please. Leroy and Fluff, make me look good. Please sit. You know, whatever it is you might say when you're not really convinced, right? And I was showing this to her. And I said, now watch this. Sit. Boom. Both tails hit the floor. Because I was convinced. And they knew it. Don't you think the enemy is looking at you? I don't know. You may want me to leave, but I'm not sure you're convinced. You think that could possibly go on? I'm not sure. I don't think you really mean it, Star. I think I'll hang around. That could be happening to you. And you sit there and say, it doesn't work for me. I guess God didn't give me the same spirit. I don't have the same name of Jesus. We do this stuff, right? And it's like, they're laughing at us, and you have no idea the power that's in you. You have no idea what you have going for you. And I'm glad you don't know. I'm glad you're not exercising it. I'm glad you think it's foolishness. I'm glad you think it's for someone else. I'm glad. Keep it up. Of course, that's not God speaking, is it? Let's pray. Lord, you are working a work in this church, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful for eyes opening and ears opening and hearts understanding, and that for your spirit working in us, that we would understand the war we are in, the warfare we are to engage in the name of Jesus that we possess. that we be established, growing in that establishedness. And I pray for each one as they go home today, at some point this week, will think about, what am I established in? What do I really, really, really believe and know? And pray that the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, will help them to see, you're established in this, but not that. You're established in this and this and this, but not that. You can fix that. Thank you, Lord, that you work to will and to do as your good pleasure in us as we submit to God and obey our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.